We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, coming up on 918. And chatting here this morning, as we do on the second Monday of each month, with a member of the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. Today it's Dr. Bob Larson, professor in livestock medicine. Pretty neat topic there we talked about here in the first segment about the new hotline coming online here to support diagnosing toxic animal emergencies. We're going to talk a little bit more about, we're getting into the fall now and kind of what that means here for cattle producers. And a big thing here this time of year is weaning of calves.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the cattle in this part of the country, the calves are born in the spring, although we do have a fair amount of herds that calve in the fall, so they're in a little different schedule. But for herds that calve in the spring, those calves are, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 months of age by now, and it's time for them to leave home and be separated from their mother, which is the weaning process. And so there's a few things that we really focus on during that time, because we're changing several things. We're changing the diet that those calves are on. They're no longer receiving mother's milk, and they're going to an all forage or a forage and grain type of a mixture. And that physical separation, there is some bonding there between the mother and her calf. And it's kind of similar to, I'm going to make the analogy of similar to when your teenagers finally leave to college. There is some bawling and some stress associated with that. It's also maybe not quite as tight a bond as when they were really young, and maybe much like our own teenagers, there's a little bit of it's probably time for you to leave.
Sure.
But some of the things we talk about is low-stress weaning, meaning, so I listed a few of the things that change in that calf's life. First of all, he's no longer physically present with his mother. We're changing the diet. We're changing, you know, usually the location where he is and those types of things. And we're also, this is a good time to do some immunizations to give those calves some vaccinations. And so each of those can be a little bit of a stressor. And so what we try to do is do it in a low stress environment, which may include kind of spreading those things out so they don't all happen on the same day. And also just the way we handle cattle, to use, you know, to be quiet and slow and gentle. A lot of times one of the things you'll hear really good cattle producers say is slow down to go faster. Meaning that if you kind of slow and move those cattle slowly and be quiet, the day actually goes better and you have fewer mishaps and fewer things go wrong. And so we like to really emphasize that low stress weaning, you know, so change very little about their diet, change very little about their location. So that might mean leaving the calves where they have been and moving the dams, the mothers, away so that the calf is really still in the same environment. It might be leaving that dam within sight of the calf, even though they're physically not together anymore, so just across the fence. So those are some of the strategies that producers use to kind of minimize the stress so that those calves, you know, within just a few days are really kind of they're back. Again, I'm going to use the analogy. They're at college and they've forgotten mom and dad and they're ready to really go on to the next phase of life.
Oh, all right. I didn't grow up on a farm myself. What was ideally the right amount of time here for the weaning process to take place?
Well, a couple of days is really what is required for that calf to kind of complete that separation process. Kind of the same thing with the dam. She'll do some mooing and bawling and stuff for a day or so. And there, it does seem like that once they're kind of used to being apart, then that's kind of over after a couple of days. Now, again, some of the transitions we make with their diet and things like that might be a little bit slower. It might take several weeks, actually, to just gradually change their diet so that that they can make that acclimation to the maybe a little more concentrate, a little bit less forage. Because, you know, they came from, you know, summer and fall when they had lots of green grass to eat. And now the grass is dying, so they're already transitioning to kind of that dormant forage type of a diet. And supplement them with a little bit of grain to get a little more energy and protein into them, and to make that transition kind of gradual.
Okay. We have a caller waiting here with a question, so we'll get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
What a wonderful program. Thank you for presenting this. Back in the 80s, we had that terrible drought, and I didn't have any winter feed coming up for the next year. And so I planted that hybrid sorghum and didn't have a soybean drill, so I used the wheat drill and opened it wide open and just poured, had never grown this, that before, so I just poured the fertilizers and nitrogen to it, and it just exploded out of the ground. Just a wonderful crop. But years later, at breakfast, talking to the county extension agent, he had done the same thing, except that he didn't put the fertilizer to it because he feared nitrogen poisoning with the cattle. What would I have been looking? They just did a wonderful through the winter. But what would I have been looking for, having never heard of nitrogen poisoning in the cattle? Thank you.
Actually, I kind of expected you to say that you did have some problems with nitrogen or nitrate toxicity in those cattle, because that's the kind of history that you might run into. And much like a lot of plant-based toxicology, because that's one thing I didn't mention is there are toxic plants, and sometimes it's just plants that grow in the pasture. Sometimes it's plants that we're planting, such as the sorghum, Sudan hybrid type of plants, which can be a great forage, as you said, you know, that the cattle do great. But there is the risk that sometimes those plants will accumulate too much nitrate. And the risk factors are heavy fertilization, but then the weather really matters a lot. So basically what happens is the plant is supposed to take that nitrogen out of the soil, use it as a nutrient to build more plant material. And when that works well, there's really no toxic problems for the cattle that are grazing that plant. But if the plant is stressed, and usually it's drought or those types of stresses, then the plant can accumulate nitrates in the plant and cause a toxic problem. And so what you described was kind of what we run into with toxicology problems. You can do the exact same thing for 3 or 4 years in a row and not have any problems. And then 1 year, because the weather's a little bit different, the plants respond differently, and all of a sudden you've got a toxic problem. With this particular problem, nitrate toxicity, oftentimes the first thing you notice is several dead cattle because most of our toxicology problems happen, they progress very rapidly and quite seriously. And so sometimes the first thing the veterinarian will hear is the producer calls and says, yeah, we've got 2 or 3 dead cattle. And when you ask history, you know, well, what are they grazing? And it's on a sorghum type of a hybrid, and knowing the weather that has happened, a lot of times that's how the veterinarian makes that call and says, okay, we need to move cattle off of that plant and let that plant recover before we put it back on, put the cattle back on. Oh. So yeah, interesting question. And you're right. In your situation, it worked out great. You had great winter forage. Usually that's the case, but there's just that risk of the toxic syndrome that makes you be aware that you got to be careful.
All right. Thanks for the call. And, you know, we're getting here into the colder months. What should people be planning now for their cattle and other animals here as we get into the colder months?
Yeah, exactly right. So not only is the weather colder, but for cattle, you know, they thrive the best when the grass is green and growing. Well, there's about 6 months of the year where there isn't green growing grass. And the good thing is they do quite well on dry forage, and that's either hay or just standing dormant forage. If you see some of the pastures that still have quite a bit of grass out there, but it's brown and it's dormant. The cattle can use that, but typically they need a little bit of protein supplementation to really utilize that those dormant calories as well. And so we monitor the body condition. That's the body fatness of the cattle. We want them to kind of medium. You know, there's a lot in animal health that's kind of like Goldilocks, not too much, not too little. And so we want just a little bit of body fat going into the winter because, for one thing, that's some insulation for cold days. It also provides a little bit of an energy reserve when the diet isn't as good. And so we will do a body condition score of the herd. And now, before it gets really cold, is a good time, if they're a little bit on the thin side, to put a little bit of weight on them. So that might be a little bit more of a concentrate supplement or a little bit higher quality forage if we can get a hold of it.
All right, very good. And is this now the time also to, you know, kind of for sheltering, getting the pens ready, so things like that?
Exactly. The main thing, again, for different species are different. Cattle have a pretty thick hide and a pretty thick hair coat, so they're actually quite acclimated to cold temperatures. The things that get cattle into trouble are either high winds that they can't escape or real wet. So honestly, sometimes we get into March and April, when you get pretty low temperatures and rain, cattle actually may get into more problems with being cold than they do in January when the temperature's colder, but they're not likely to get wet. So one of the things we as producers do is make sure that there's protection from the wind, and that can be shelter belts of trees, that can be a physical barn or shed, but just a place for cattle to get out of the wind. And again, if they can get out of the wind and they're dry, they actually do quite well in cold temperatures because of kind of some of their acclimation for that.
All right, good stuff. Well, anything else before we wrap things up here, Dr. Larson?
No, it's a great time of year to be a livestock veterinarian and to own cattle. I think, we're weaning calves, which is kind of our harvest for cattle producers, and we're getting ready for cows to go into the winter. And so it's a good time of year to be a livestock producer.
All right. Well, we always appreciate all the good work you guys do out there, and keep it up at the College of Veterinary Medicine.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Bob Larson again joining us here on In Focus. We invite you to stay with us here. We're going to talk with some guests from the university talking about homecoming. That's coming up in just a couple weeks, and we'll get a preview of some of the festivities going on around the community. That's next on News Radio KMAN.